Last Saturday, a group of guys from the church here had a work day over at North Point Bible College in Haverhill, Massachusetts, just to try to repair some of the damage that had been done by a broken water pipe over the course of the winter. And we had a significant amount of drywall that needed to be replaced. So I went over, joined the team to help do some of that. I've done a number of jobs in my life. I've done things like roofing, but I've done drywall. In very limited capacity in the past, but it's not something that I've ever done as a job. To be honest, I find drywall frustrating and difficult to work with in my limited experience because I find it difficult to get right. But I wanted to help, and so I went to help with that team. And as we were hanging sheets of drywall, I don't think my work was particularly pretty. But my partner and I did our best. We hung as many sheets as we could, ugly as they may have been. Thankfully, we had a couple of guys there who actually knew what they were doing. And so we could do an adequate job, hopefully, and then trust them to make it look better. I was told that mud covers a multitude of sins, and so I trust that worked out. The work that I did may not have been the prettiest, but together, we did get a significant amount of work done for the college. Tonight, we're continuing to talk about the spiritual gifts, and we're going to talk about the purpose of spiritual gifts, and that purpose can really be described in a single word. It's kind of an old word. It's edification, and it just means to build up. Edification means something that is built up or strengthened. And the Apostle Paul really liked this word. He liked to use this metaphor of building to describe how we ought to relate to one another and how we minister to one another in the church. After warning the believers in the city of Thessalonica not to be led astray into sin during these last days, he exhorted them in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." And so broadly speaking, generally speaking in the church, our goal ought to be to build each other up, to serve one another. And when you come to church, when you come to a service, or you're volunteering for a ministry, you're out fellowshipping with other believers before or after a service or outside of the church, your goal isn't to compete with them. Your goal is not to outshine them or outperform them or criticize them or judge them. It's not to put them down so you can feel better about yourself. Your goal ought to be to build them up, to strengthen them. Your aim should be to edify. You want to aim to build up and strengthen the body of Christ, the church. In the first message of this series, all the way back in the distant past when we were in the sanctuary, we saw that the spiritual gifts are given to empower us to serve. And Pastor David Lim wrote it this way. He said, "Gifts are spontaneously granted tools through which we fulfill our ministries." Gifts of the Spirit are given that we might build one another up, serve one another, and fulfill our ministries. And so if we put all of this together, we see that spiritual gifts are given to aid in accomplishing the goal of building up the church. They are supernatural assistance in the goal of building up the church. They don't have their own separate goal in ministry or in life. They're not intended to, you know, puff us up, to make us feel good. That's not their purpose. Their purpose isn't to make us look spiritual. Their purpose is to accomplish that one goal of building up the body of Christ, of edifying the church, strengthening the church. So it's not as if we serve one another and seek to build each other up, but when it comes to spiritual gifts, those are just for giving us goosebumps in a service or an experiential feeling or making me look good or feel good. Those have the same goal. They are to build up the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul wrote about this in a couple of regards. And we have seen that sometimes gifts are identified with people, and those people are given to equip the church so that the church is built up. Ephesians 4:11 to 12 says, "He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ." So one way that gifts are used is through these ministries that build up the body of Christ, these people that are given to equip the church. In 1 Corinthians 14, we see another way. Paul was concerned that spiritual gifts would be understandable to everyone who was hearing them so that everyone could be built up. 1 Corinthians 14, 12 says, "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." And there, Paul clearly states the goal of spiritual gifts. They are to build up, to edify the church. That's supposed to be our intention toward one another anyway, broadly, but the spiritual gifts help us to achieve it. They make us more effective at it. And so as we're learning about and seeking spiritual gifts, you should aim to edify. Your goal with seeking a spiritual gift is not so that, you know, I feel good, or not even just that I feel useful, though we want you to be useful in God's kingdom. And the scripture says God gives you a gift. He has given you a gift or manifestation of the Spirit for the common good of the church. But the goal of that gift isn't just so that you feel useful. It is so that the body of Christ is built up. And so let's take a look at how this may help us to receive and use our spiritual gifts. If we understand these are for building of the body, how does that help us receive and use our spiritual gifts? I think the realization that the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to build up the church can often seem like a big deal. And it is a big deal. God wants to work through you. 1 Corinthians 12:7 states, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the common good." And while we could interpret that verse to mean something like, to whomever a manifestation of the Spirit is given, it's given to them for the common good. And maybe that would allow you to kind of get around the idea that spiritual gifts are given to everyone, or at least potentially available to every member of the body of Christ. I don't think that's what Paul means. He means to say that spiritual gifts are available to all who are in the body of Christ, that he wants to use each one of us in a variety of ways, but he does want to use each one of us. That's the whole gist of what he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as he relates the body. He says we're all members of the body, and each part of the body, each member of the body has a function that needs to be fulfilled. Each one of us can be used in a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's an exciting idea. The Spirit of God wants to work through you. The Spirit of God wants to work through me. And together, he wants to work through all of us to build up the church, to accomplish the mission of Jesus. That's a pretty cool thought, that God wants to work through us. The Holy Spirit may work through people, and then they begin to think, not just that that's a big deal, but sometimes the problem is that they begin to think that they're a big deal. Right? So one of the things that we need to understand about spiritual gifts is it's a big deal that God wants to work through you, but it's not a big deal at the same time. It's a big deal because God wants to work in your life and through your life, but in one other regard, it's not a big deal because it doesn't make you a big deal that God would work through you because, you know, I hate to break it to you, but he wants to work through everybody, all of us. And so just because God works through you doesn't mean like you're special. I mean, you are, but you're not, right? It's a big deal, but it's not a big deal. It's a great thing. He wants you to feel like you're a part of something, like you're involved in something. That's wonderful. You're a member of the body, but so is everybody else. We're all members of the body. And so when we're used in gifts of the Spirit, it's not an opportunity for us to go, yeah, I'm a big deal. No, but the point is that we would make a big deal out of other people, actually, isn't it? Because the purpose of the spiritual gifts is to build up the body. And so God uses people, not that we might think I'm a big deal, but that I might think I can make a big deal out of God, and I can help other people. I can make a big deal of other people by building them up in the body of Christ. On the other side of that, of people who might think, wow, I'm a big deal, I think there are those who sometimes feel very intimidated by the idea that the Holy Spirit wants to work through them. I mean, it seems like such a big deal, and maybe you don't feel like you're a big deal. Maybe you think that other people are a big deal. They're more important than you. They're more capable than you. They're better looking than you or something. And maybe you're so aware of your own flaws and your own imperfections that you begin to think, I'm not a big enough deal for the Holy Spirit to work through me. Perhaps you're intimidated by others, or you just never thought of yourself in a leadership capacity, or as articulate, or as particularly spiritual. So you reason that you're going to humbly leave the spiritual gifts to more spiritual people. But either way, whether it's you're patting yourself on the back going, I'm a big deal, or you're going, yeah, that's not for me because I'm not a big deal, what you need to know is that spiritual gifts are a big deal, but they're not a big deal. And what I mean is that you're absolutely right to think that it's a big deal for God to work through us. That's exciting and intimidating, and at the same time, it's no big deal. It's not like God bases these gifts on your previous qualifications. So you've got to be a big deal in order to be used in the gifts. That's not what this is. See, it's not as if God bases it on your perfection, whether you think you're perfect or you're really aware of your imperfections. Either way, God's not basing it on your perfections about how he uses you or why he uses you in gifts of the Spirit. It's not as if you need to become a big deal for God to use you. It's not as if the goal is beyond your ability to understand. He wants to empower you beyond your own ability to build up the church. He wants to enable our ministry to one another. And you don't have to achieve spiritual perfection to participate in spiritual gifts. Now, this is not an excuse for sin. This is not to say, hey, don't worry about the sin in your life. God will still use you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying to you is that if the only way that somebody could be used in a spiritual gift was they had attained some kind of spiritual perfection, sinless state, there would be even fewer spiritual gifts in the church. There would be no spiritual gifts in the church because we all have flaws and imperfections, but don't think that you have to attain perfection in order for the Holy Spirit to empower your service to the church and to believers. Let me see if I can illustrate this again. I'm going to go back to North Point. When I went to North Point to help do drywall, I was not the most skilled member of the team by a long way. The work I did was less than beautiful, to put it gently. And I made quite a few mistakes and was slower than most of the other people who were working. But I knew I wasn't the only one doing it either. I wasn't the only one doing the work. It wasn't as if when I finished and I had done my piece, they were going to come in and say, okay, let's open the building now. There was other work to be done. So I asked a lot of questions, got a lot of help, and I knew that the guys who were coming to mud behind me were skilled enough to cover a multitude of my mistakes. I contributed to building up, even though I wasn't perfect. Far from it. And something similar applies to spiritual gifts. It's a big deal that God sends the Holy Spirit to work through us. But at the same time, we don't have to make a big deal out of it as if we're a big deal, or only people who are a big deal can have the Spirit empower their ministry, or as if being used in the gifts means the work of the ministry or the church depends on just one person, because it doesn't. The Spirit wants to work through all of us. The Holy Spirit empowers imperfect people who build each other up in a variety of ways to accomplish his purposes. That's what he wants to do in you. It's what he wants to do in us. With spiritual gifts, you should aim to edify. And if you're going to build others up, it means that you serve them. And I think that this may be one place where we miss the mark sometimes in seeking spiritual gifts. Perhaps we've assumed that spiritual gifts are only when we're praying in a service. We only seek spiritual gifts when we're praying in a service, or when we're in a time of worship or praise. They can be given then, but I think that that's kind of limiting what and when God wants to work. If gifts are intended to supernaturally empower ministry so that the church is built up, maybe sometimes people don't experience gifts as much as they could because maybe they're not involved in building others up. They're not ever building other people up. And so how is God going to empower them to build others up when they're never putting themselves in a position where the Holy Spirit could use them to do that work in particular. Or perhaps when we're involved in serving others, we just assume it's something that's natural because it doesn't seem immediately supernatural. Maybe it seems to us like it's no big deal, and so we don't pray, or we don't expect the Holy Spirit to enable us in those times. Either way, could it be that a lack of participation in serving, or a lack of awareness that the Holy Spirit wants to empower you for service, sometimes hinders our experience of spiritual gifts? Romans 12, 4 to 6 teaches this. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." Paul says, every member of Christ's body has a function or a gift, and that every member should use that gift. That doesn't mean that you can only have one gift. That doesn't mean that you can only be involved in one ministry. It just means that we are to recognize that we all have a place. We all have a place of service in the kingdom of God, and we all have gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give and functions that he wants to work through us, and we should use them. We should put ourselves in a position to use those gifts. But what if you don't know what gifts you have? I really like the wisdom that Bill and Bob Menzies share in their book, Spirit and Power. They say this: "My advice is this, rather than analyzing the nature of your gifting, simply respond to the needs around you. Bathe this activity in prayer, ask for the Lord's guidance and power, but by all means respond to needs. Step out in areas of service and ministry and see what God will do." They go on to say, perhaps the key question to ask is not, what gifts do I have? But rather, what need does God want me to meet? And then trust that the Spirit will work through you to meet that need. These questions make the gifts more about building up the church and believers than just about self-conscious reflection on myself, about what gifts do I have. They teach us to look outward to others rather than just looking inward and being introspective about what is it that I can do or I can contribute. So to seek the gifts, perhaps we can better ask not what gifts do I have, but how can I serve? And service doesn't have to be in an official capacity. Maybe it will be. Maybe you'll become a Sunday school teacher and discover that the Spirit supernaturally empowers you to connect kids to God's Word and help them to understand it. Or maybe you'll just notice a brother in Christ who needs discipleship or encouragement, and as you pray, the Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom you need to share that discipleship and build him up in Christ. Spiritual gifts are about participation. You need to participate. And if you withhold your gifts, the church isn't going to be built as effectively as it would be otherwise. It's about participation. Finally, aiming to edify through the spiritual gifts will also empower the church for its mission. And when I say the purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify or to build up the church, it could sound like a very internal goal. Like, you know, the gifts are, they're just designed to kind of make us feel better, to strengthen our organization, to internally kind of make us more robust. Perhaps it seems as if we just want to keep improving our church on the inside so that the experience is better for us. And it could start to sound a bit ingrown. But it's apparent when you read about the work and move of the Holy Spirit in the early church, in the Bible, and especially in the book of Acts, that the church was pushed outward through his work among them, and they went to new places and they proclaimed Jesus to new people, and lives were transformed as the Holy Spirit worked through them. The church was being built up. It was being built in two regards. Believers were being strengthened, and their witness was made more effective so that unbelievers were being brought in and they were added to the church. And since the mission of the church is to make disciples, building up the church doesn't just mean that we have better experiences in our services or can offer better programs or that it's nicer or that the church is more comfortable for us. That's not the aim of building up, or at least not the only aim, though some of those things could be good and we hope for them. But the church is edified. When that happens, it should result in increased effectiveness for reaching the lost. In other words, the church is built up, as that happens, we get better at our mission. This is part of why we should desire spiritual gifts, because when we use the gifts of the Spirit, we get better at our mission. And this increased effectiveness can come in several avenues. As individuals are built up, they'll become more effective at their personal witness for Christ. So consider the example of Stephen from the book of Acts in this regard. He was built up, appointed to a work, to a kind of service in the early church. And as he stepped into that ministry, the Holy Spirit empowered that ministry, anointed him, and he became more effective not only at the job he was assigned to do, but in his witness outside the church. Acts 6, 8 to 10 says, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up, and they disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." So as the church is built up through the gifts of the Spirit, people will become more effective at their personal witness as the Spirit enables them, and they may discover that, like Stephen, the Holy Spirit gives gifts to them, especially for that witness. We see another avenue of increased effectiveness for mission through gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 23 to 25. It says this, "If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he's convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you." This avenue was specifically related to prophecy during a church gathering. That prophecy could reveal the secrets and convict the hearts of unbelieving guests who had come to the meeting. And so the prophecy intended to build up the church, built it by adding people to it, right? So the church was built up because people were added to the church as they were convicted by gifts of the Spirit used to edify the body when the body had gathered to worship. Another avenue by which increased effectiveness may come through gifts of the Spirit is when the gifts are functioning among us, encouraging us as a group, and helping to keep us pointed in the direction that we need to be going. In other words, the Holy Spirit, through the gifts of the Spirit, can help to focus and sharpen the whole body of Christ as an organization or as an organism so that we stay on task, so we don't forget our purpose is to reach the lost and to disciple those that we reach. He wants to empower and make us effective at that and keep a fire burning in us for that purpose. And the gifts of the Spirit contribute toward that outward focus. He guides and strengthens the outreach ministries within the body and as a whole, and he makes us more effective through those gifts that are at work among us. When we went to North Point last weekend, I was not the most confident or the most skilled member of that team. Some of my weaknesses had to be covered by others. Their gifts built me up, even as I used my limited gifts to help build the school up. But the goal was ultimately accomplished through the multiplicity of people who were working together. We accomplished the work together. The goal of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ. You should aim to edify. It's a big deal that the Spirit of God wants to work through you, but it's not a big deal. It doesn't mean that you've got to be perfect, and it doesn't mean that you are a big deal. Make it about Jesus, make it about serving others, and not about your inflated sense of spirituality. It's about participation. So don't sit it out and think spiritual gifts are for other people, because the Bible explicitly teaches us that spiritual gifts are for each of us so that the whole body can function together as it should. It matters when you withhold your gifts from the body of Christ. It matters when you don't join the body in seeking to be used in gifts of the Spirit, because when you do that, a piece of the body is effectively missing. That's the whole point of Paul's analogy of the body in 1 Corinthians 12, that if you say, the body does not have need of me or of the gifts the Spirit has given me, then you are withholding something that actually the body needs. And gifts of the Spirit empower mission. as the church is built up and each of us in the church are built up, the Holy Spirit is empowering us for further building by adding more people to the number of those who know and love Jesus. I'm gonna ask the worship team to come because I wanna spend a while here seeking the Lord. We wanna earnestly desire to build up the church, and tonight our response to this is gonna be simple. We wanna ask the Holy Spirit how he desires to use you to build up the church. Ask him, how do you want me to serve? That's what we saw one thing we could do tonight. Rather than saying, what are my gifts? Just say, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to serve? And ask him to empower you to do it, to strengthen you to do that, and trust that he will. And after you've prayed for that, after maybe you've spent a few moments praying, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to get involved in ministering to others? Whether it's in a ministry that's official, or maybe it's a ministry he puts on your heart that it doesn't have to have a title, doesn't have to be an official capacity. Maybe he says, you need to be encouraging people. So you ask him, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to serve? And when you prayed for that, see what or who he brings to mind, and then begin to pray for that. Pray for that ministry, pray for that person, pray that he would empower you to touch that person's life, pray that he empower you for that kind of service or that ministry. And as you do, I want you to just be open to his leading tonight. As you're praying and seeking him, just be open to how the Holy Spirit would lead you as you're asking him these things. Perhaps he will even use you in a spiritual gift in the next few moments. We want to be open to that. In settings like this, it's perfectly appropriate that we would expect that the Holy Spirit will work in gifts, in prophecy, in words of wisdom, that he would minister among us in those ways for the building of the body of Christ, for the encouragement of believers, to give direction, to give wisdom, to bring strengthening to our spirits. We want to be open to those things. So if he nudges you tonight, that is, if you're sitting there and you're praying and suddenly you sense, well, I need to say this. And as you're thinking about it, you recognize this lines up with God's word. This is strengthening. It doesn't tear people down. It's not harsh. It's not critical of people. It is building them up. It's to encourage. It's to help give direction. Then as the Holy Spirit nudges you, speak that publicly, out loud. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Be willing to do that. Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to inspire prayer or praise tonight through tongues and interpretation of tongues. Let's be open to the work and move of the Holy Spirit over the next few moments, because what we want to do is not have a sermon series through the summer or a teaching series where we learn about gifts of the Spirit and then we think, we have, you know, a degree in gifts of the Spirit, but we've never been used in any or something like that. We don't want that. We want to say, Holy Spirit, where do you want me to serve? How do you want to use me? And then we want to make ourselves available for him to use. We're not trying to manipulate that. We're not trying to force something to happen. That's the last thing we want, is to think we can make God do something. But we do also not want to hinder his work because our hearts were hard, or because we were too scared or intimidated, or because we were not surrendered or submitted. So will you stand with me? And maybe over these next few moments, you want to come and find a place to pray down at the front and just make a move that says, Holy Spirit, I want to seek you with intensity and intentionality tonight. But let's begin these next few moments as we're seeking the Lord in prayer and in worship, just by saying, Holy Spirit, we're present tonight to hear from you. We want to know what you would say to us. Lord, we believe that you're a God that still speaks, and that's a big deal. And yet, Lord, we know we're not trying to manipulate something from you. We don't want to just make stuff up tonight, God. We certainly don't need the wisdom of men or women tonight. What we want is the wisdom of God. What we want is the ministry of your Holy Spirit. So over these next few moments, Father, would you pour out your Spirit? I pray that as your servants are here and we're just asking you, where do you want us to serve? Maybe we're already involved in service, but Lord, we can still ask, where do you want me to serve? And maybe it's not a whole new ministry that you give to us. Maybe it's a person you put on our minds. and there's a gift of wisdom that you want us to bring to them. There's a message you want us to deliver. Maybe, Lord, it's a kind of work that you want us to do, of encouragement or of service behind the scenes to build up the body that you put on our hearts tonight. Give us willing spirits tonight, Lord, to listen to that. I pray that right now you'd begin to remove the fear from people's hearts, the intimidation, the worry that this could be weird and I don't know what to expect and all that stuff. Lord, we trusted our lives to you when we came for salvation. We said, I believe that you died for my sin and cleansed me spiritually. We said, I believe that I'm new in Jesus. I am born again. I'm not the same creature. We said, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, so I have new and eternal life in him. And one day after I die, when Jesus returns, he's going to resurrect me and I'll be with him forever. Jesus, we have believed those things. So Lord, help us not to close ourselves off to thinking that it would be weird or out of the ordinary or out of the question for us to think that you want to fill us with your Holy Spirit and use us to build each other up. Lord, we pray that tonight you'd help us. Help us, Lord. Would you just even right now begin to just lift up your voice in praise and prayer to the Lord, your own words, and say, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come tonight? I'm willing. I'm a surrendered person to you. I'm a surrendered vessel. I want to be used by you. I want to be open to you. Lord, I don't want to make this about me, but I also don't want to fail to do what you're asking me to do. I'm here, Lord. I'm your servant. Speak to me. I'm listening to you tonight. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening tonight. Speak to me, Jesus. I want to hear what you have to say. Holy Spirit, I'm open to what you want to do. I'm open to what you want to do, Holy Spirit. Let's seek the Lord. If you want to find a place to pray up front, please do that. If you feel led to go and pray with somebody, please do that. But let's spend these next few moments just crying out to the Lord, crying out to the Holy Spirit. Where do you want me to serve? And how do you want to empower me to do it? Let's seek the Lord.